Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Good morning, Tycoons, and welcome to today's episode of Tycoons of Small Biz. It's the day after Memorial Day. It's the last, one of the last days in May. So we're getting to the end of Mental Health Awareness Month, and we've had a couple of episodes on mental health and maintaining mental health and why it's so important. And so excited to kind of jump in and talk about that a little bit today. But obviously, as normal, I'm coming to you from Phoenix. Yesterday, I spent some time on the river with friends and family, just getting out of the heat a little bit, enjoying the nature that is offered in Arizona, and hope that everybody had an opportunity to kind of decompress and think about and contemplate those who have given the ultimate sacrifice in service of our country. So Landon is coming to us from obviously a place where buffalo hunting is prevalent. Landon is in Boise with his family, spending a little bit of time getting away, checking out some property, etc. So Landon, welcome in, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate it. And I'd like to recognize the way that you pronounced Boise. Because I've learned that, I've always pronounced it, Boise, but the locals out here pronounce it the way that you pronounce it. So I better start working on my pronunciation of Boise if I'm going to end up moving out here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I grew up closer to Boise than you did, obviously. And so, I've spent more time in Boise maybe than you have. And, you'll have to get accustomed. I know you're not a huge sports fan the way that I am, but you'll have to see at least one football game at Boise State. They've got that blue turf, one of the only colleges in the country that has a turf that's other than normal turf color. So it's interesting. I've actually seen a game there, and it's not a very large stadium, quite honestly. I think it only holds about 35-ish thousand people. But it's really loud. The way that they've kind of got it put together, it gets really loud in there with as few people as there are. So you're in for a treat.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely not a big college football fan, but one of the only, I wouldn't even call it a memory, just recollections of like seeing college football on TV is the blue field. Like I remember seeing that all the time and being like, gosh, that's really unique, but I didn't know that it was that unique, being like it's the only blue field in college football. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty sure it's the only blue field. There's it's either Eastern Washington or Western Washington. I can't ever remember which. One of them has a red field. So and I believe that those are the only two in all of college football that have the quote unquote exemption to have a different colored field. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Right. So ready to jump in and talk a little bit about maintaining mental health as a small business owner?
Yeah. I mean, I think I hope that we've talked about some really good topics, the last couple months as we've kind of changed the format of this, all in the spirit of bringing value to our business owner, clients, community, friends, neighbors, et cetera. But I'm going to argue that this might be one of the most important, if not the most important topic, that we've talked about so far. I don't know if you saw over the weekend, I think I just saw it yesterday, but there's a PGA golfer, Grayson, I can't remember what his last name was. I think I'd only seen him once before, the news came out, but apparently he struggled with alcoholism and addiction and had some pretty serious mental health issues over, his lifetime. I think he's only 30 years old, and he withdrew from the golf tournament going on, then subsequently took his life on, I think maybe Friday or Saturday. And So I don't know, just kind of struck a chord a bit with me, you know, not struck a chord, but it hit home a bit as we were just mentally preparing to have this discussion today. So unfortunately, you hear so many of these stories nowadays of people, but I think it just statistically, I believe it's predominantly men, you know, that take their lives by suicide. So hopefully we can just bring a little bit of light to this subject, and maybe we get through to one person that might be struggling with some mental health issues.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I mean, obviously this podcast, the intent is to kind of help small business owners run their businesses better. Right. And do anything that we can to kind of equip them with the tools to do that. And to your point, like I would argue that this is one of those tools, right? I mean, we don't think about it, but I think as business owners, you know, when we get started, you just have to grind, right? You're putting in all kinds of effort. You're putting in all kinds of time. You're taking time away from your family. You're taking time away from your hobbies. You're taking time away from exercise. You know, you're doing all those things. And it's okay to do that for a short period of time to kind of get things rolling. But if you can't kind of put those things back in place, it can be extremely detrimental to the rest of your life. You know, it makes me think of a book that I read several years ago. It's called Driven. It's the Larry H. Miller story. So for those who aren't familiar, Larry H. Miller used to own the Utah Jazz. He owned a bunch of car dealerships in Utah, Idaho, Arizona, you know, kind of the Mountain West area of the country. Kind of built this whole big, you know, group of car dealerships and became extremely wealthy and ultimately ended up buying the Utah Jazz and doing a lot of other things. His family still runs several businesses and a bunch of foundations, but he passed away at a very young age, and it wasn't suicide. It wasn't anything like that, but he passed away because he wasn't taking care of himself physically. Right. Well, I would argue that the mental side is just as important, if not more important than that, right? So he died from complications from diabetes because he was working so hard. He wasn't taking time to eat. He wasn't taking time to exercise. He wasn't doing all those types of things. But I bring all that up to point out that all of those things that he didn't have right in his life are also things that contribute to your mental health. Right? Exercise can help you to feel more healthy. Eating right can help you to feel more healthy mentally. You know, participating in hobbies, spending time with family, spending time outdoors, all of those types of things help with your mental health. And they also help with your physical health. It's interesting to me how those things are so tied together in life.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. I mean, you know this, obviously, but some people listening might not. But, you know, just because Austin and I are sitting here having this conversation today, trying to bring some value to our business owner community, does not mean that Austin and I are precluded from these struggles. You know, I my twins are four now, and, you know, just kind of going back to what you kind of kicked this call off with, you know, the having kids has been the best thing that's ever happened to me. There's no comparison. The love and the light, the laughter, the joy, all the positive things that have been brought into my life now with kids, you know, I mean, far, far outweigh the challenges of raising toddler twins, which at times can be very challenging. But as anybody knows that has kids, you know, when you have a kid or kids, your life changes, right? You have to change how you allocate your time, right? If you want to be present and you want to be involved in your kids' lives and, you know, be there for your significant other and all that good stuff. You know, before I had kids, you know, I used to play golf, you know, once a week. You know, I did that religiously for many, many years. And, I loved that. You know, I knew that having that on my calendar every week as I went about my work week, just gave me something positive to look forward to, you know, just going outside and enjoying the sun for a couple hours. You know, I'm not a good golfer by any stretch. In fact, I'm pretty bad, but I love getting out there and hanging out with good people and getting sun. But after I had twins, that changed, you know. I didn't get to get outside as much. I didn't get to hang out with adults, you know, as much. And so there's been times where I've struggled, you know, the last, you know, 4 years, just because I've had to adapt to a new life, a way of doing things. And for me, it's a much better life. And I love my life with my kids much better than I ever loved my life before, but it's still though, it's a big change, right? You know, instead of playing golf every week, now I play maybe four times a year, right? Because, you know, taking 4 or 5 hours and going to play a round of golf, just, it's not in the cards for me. It's a decision I've had to make. So, you know, I got to find other ways to get outdoors and hang out with, you know, my friends and do things to bring, you know, to kind of fill that, you know, that gap in my life as well.
Yeah. It's definitely a struggle, right? I, you know, you and I are in different spots, with the ages of our kids. Right. But one of the things that early on, I felt bad. I was traveling a lot for work, doing everything that I could. And to want to go and play golf on a Friday afternoon when I'm back in town and take, like you said, 4 or 5 hours away from the family to go and do that when you've already been gone for 3 days, you know, it's really tough to justify that. Now, the good news for me and maybe for you is, you know, my oldest actually loved golf, picked it up at a young age and kind of played it throughout. Well, he still plays it today, but, you know, played it throughout high school and those sorts of things. And so I was able to take him and go golf with him and have that be the ability to kind of do both. Right. And sometimes my daughter would come with us as well. And, you know, she played a little bit, never really kind of got super excited about it, but she didn't mind or really, you know, enjoyed being with dad still. And so she would go and ride in the cart with us and watch us play golf. And so there are ways to kind of still make that happen and get that introduced back into your life and still have it not be taking away time from spending it with your kids.
Yeah. Good point. Well, to kind of get into today's discussion, you know, I wrote down a couple things that I think are really important to talk about, but I feel like a good part of our discussion today, you know, should definitely be like around the physical, like exercise part of mental health. Like, I just feel like that is so incredibly important. And again, just to reference my own personal situation the last, you know, 4 years, I also, my exercise routine has just ebbed and flowed really, you know, just, I've been really inconsistent with my physical exercise the last 4 years. And so I have seen much more dramatically than I ever have in my life how I feel when I'm active and I'm staying fit and I'm strong and I'm strength training and doing cardio versus like when I go sometimes weeks, you know, without hardly moving my body at all. And the difference in how I feel of, you know, one side of the coin versus the other, it's significant.
Yeah. No, it definitely makes a difference. You know, I've throughout my life as an adult, I've had that same ebb and flow. You know, it's really depended on what I've had going on work wise. And I've allowed that to kind of push that to the back burner. And I've recently learned, you know, recently in the last couple of years, I've become much, much better about calendaring that in. Right. And so it's now on my calendar. You know, this, we share calendars. You can see my calendar. You know that exercise is on my calendar. And so because it's on there and I don't allow that very often, I mean, very, very infrequently, maybe twice a month, you know, this, that something upsets the time that I have on my calendar there and makes it so that I'm not able to get my workout in that day. And so putting that on my calendar has allowed me to kind of make sure that that stays top of mind for me. And it's made a huge difference, right? To your point earlier, it's made a difference physically, because I'm almost 10 years older than you are. And it's to realize how the body changes and how much more difficult it is to kind of maintain that physical health as you get older. It's made a huge difference to be able to maintain that and to feel much stronger and much better as I get to the, you know, as much as I hate to say it, the second half of my life.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. You know, one of the other things that I want to definitely touch on today is just around, you know, like kind of finding your tribe / camaraderie / you know, peer groups. And so just as a really quick example of that, you know, I have drawn a lot of inspiration the last year from you. You know, obviously we're business partners, we're close friends. I mean, I consider you more of a brother than I do a friend, you know, someone that I trust as much as anybody as I trust in this world. And so obviously we spend a lot of time together, and I've gotten to see you, you know, ebb and flow a bit. You know, I think you, in your own words, I think you said you were the heaviest that you've ever been. Maybe that was last year or the year before. And now you're in definitely the best shape I have ever seen you in. You know, I've noticed the last 6 months, you know, as you've shed off, you know, some extra pounds, and then you've gotten a lot more lean. I'm seeing muscle, you know, in places that I haven't seen, you know, before. I mean, I think you can speak to this obviously, but I'm going to guess that you're in probably close to the best shape that you've ever been in your adult life. Is that fair?
In my adult life, I would say that's fair. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Obviously high school wrestling and playing baseball doesn't count, right? I mean, it's pretty easy to be in the best shape of your life then, but yeah, as an adult, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Again, just like thinking back to like these periods where I've gone, you know, like several weeks or even like up to like a month or two where I've had very little exercise just because things were busy at work and, you know, there's stuff going on at home and, you know, whatever, you know, the stars were just out of whack and, you know, where I would, you know, almost got no exercise over, again, what to me would be a very long period of time as somebody that has consistently worked out since they were 16 years old and I just turned 40. To go several weeks or a couple months without much exercise that's a pretty big deal for me. And the way that I have felt physically and then ultimately kind of the lagging indicator is like how I felt mentally. I mean, it's just, it's black and white, you know, compared to when I'm getting out and I'm walking and I'm getting sun and I'm exercising, I'm going on hikes and I'm doing things to keep your body, you know, physically stimulated, because during those times where I've had that exercise void, you know, you put a couple pounds on and, you know, you start feeling aches and pains in places that you have never felt before. And, it's not good. You don't feel good. You don't feel energized. You know, you start to see, you know, things in your relationships with your spouse and with your significant other, whoever, you know, your kids, your mood changes. So, just the physical health, and really getting that dialed in, I think is just so critical, in leading into having really good mental health. I feel like I don't think you can have strong mental health if there's not a really big emphasis on that physical health element.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's a good idea for us to kind of mention that we're not oblivious to the fact that like clinical depression and all of that kind of stuff exists, and what we're saying does not solve that, right? So we understand that there are a lot of things that go on with a lot of different people that have to be dealt with differently than what we're talking about here, right? Mm-hmm. Now, these things can still help, right? I know that there's still the ability for these things to help people who truly struggle with clinical depression and other mental health issues. So I just kind of wanted to point that out. But the other thing that we haven't kind of, or two other things that we haven't kind of talked about thus far along those lines are sleep and spending time outside and getting sunlight, right? I think that that's a big thing that we don't think about today, right? Whether we're working in our home offices or we're working in offices, that's not putting us outside and spending time outside the way that our, you know, ancestors did. Our ancestors spent a bunch of time outside. They were working on the land. They were doing all those types of things. The importance of sunlight in our lives is huge. And also the importance of the number of hours that we get sleep-wise, right? I mean, I saw a special guest speaker in a Vistage group a few months ago that came in and talked about sleep patterns and the amount of sleep that people got, you know, 100 years ago compared to the amount of sleep that people get today. It's vastly different. And the amount of mental health issues that existed back then compared to the mental health issues that exist today, it's vastly different, right? So the things are tied together. Spending that time outdoors, getting some actual natural sunlight, and making sure that you're getting somewhere between 7 and 8 hours of sleep can make such a huge difference in your life mentally.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. And I'll throw water consumption in there too. I saw poster. And I'm trying to remember where I was. I think I was in an urgent care or something. I think I took one of the twins in, and it said something to the effect of, you know, the biggest epidemic of our time is lack of sleep or something like that. And the physical issues that will be caused by lack of sleep is like, I mean, the laundry list is like, you know, it's probably 2 pages long, you know, single spaced on this, the issues that are caused, you know, in your life by lack of sleep. You know, I mean, there's not enough time on this podcast, certainly, to have that discussion. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, every study that I think has ever been produced on sleep just shows that it is absolutely imperative to get that 7 to 8 hours of sleep to maintain physical, you know, positive physical health, spiritual health, you know, emotional health, and certainly mental health.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I talk to people all the time. They're like, oh, I'm good with 5 or 6. Right. And it's just, for me, that's just not the case. If I get 5 or 6 hours of sleep, I feel it. I know it right away. And so it's a big focus for me. I try to be in bed by about 10 PM every night, you know, and then I'm getting up between 6 and 6:30 each morning. You know, there are some, and even this speaker that we had in Vistage that will tell you that, you know, no alarms, wake up with the sun, you know, all those kinds of things. And I think that's pretty far away from what a lot of us are capable of doing. Could we get to that point? Maybe, right? The sun rises pretty darn early here in the desert, right? In Phoenix. I mean, nowadays, this time of year, I feel like the sun is up by about 5 a.m. or shortly after 5 a.m. And I don't know that I'll make that adjustment so that I'm going to bed at 9 to get up at 5, but still, you know, in bed by about 10, I'm typically, you know, on my side or on my back with my eyes closed by 10:30, kind of at the latest. And then, you know, I'm up at 6:30. So that's giving me a full 8 hours. And even if I struggle to fall asleep for a while, it's still between 7 and 8 hours. And so it makes just it makes a huge difference in my life, and I know that it would in everybody else's lives.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Anytime I find myself getting less than 7 hours of sleep, like especially if it's like consistently for a few days, which has happened, you know, most days the last 4 years, because I've got, you know, 4-year-old twins, and they don't, you know, ever sleep through the night, really. You know, they wake up and they come into our room and, you know, whatever. But the physical effects that has on me is very apparent. You know, for my entire adult life, anytime things are out of whack with my body physically, I mean, not to gross out our listeners, but I get really bad canker sores, like inside my mouth. And that it only happens when I'm not sleeping well. And it's not fun for anybody that gets those things. They know how painful they are and how disruptive it is to like your eating and stuff. And yeah, they're terrible. And I only get them when I'm not sleeping well. So, and again, it's not always, I'm not always that aware that I'm not sleeping well, but all of a sudden I'll wake up one day and be like, oh, ow, that hurts. Oh, and I start reflecting back on like the last few days. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I probably only averaged 5 or 6 hours of sleep the last few nights, and here I am now. I'm paying for it. But for the people that are listening going, well, yeah, great guys. This all sounds great, but like, you know, I try to get 8 hours of sleep, but it takes me 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours to fall asleep. And I can't stay asleep. I wake up in the middle of the night, you know, like, how do you combat that? And my only thought to share around that would be, if you haven't read the book Atomic Habits by James Clear, read that book and let it change your life. Because if you let it change your life, it can, and it will. Because what that book does is it helps you to set up routines and habits that lead you to the positive outcomes that you are trying to seek. For example, in the book, it talks about getting into a really good nighttime routine where you do certain things that triggers your brain to do the thing that you want it, you know, to do. So it's not just about the action, it's about the triggering event that leads you to the action that helps you to get into a better routine, i.e. create a new positive habit in your life. So, you know, turning the screen off, you know, 60 to 90 minutes before you go to bed, setting aside, you know, 10 to 30 minutes to read or sit quietly or do something, you know, read a book, journal, whatever it is that you, you know, want to do, but to create these actions that lead to these really good, ultimately, hopefully like life-changing habits. So if you haven't read Atomic Habits by James Clear and you're struggling, you know, with getting into a good sleep routine or pre-sleep routine, which will hopefully lead to a better sleep routine, then read that book, because like I said, if you let it, it can change your life.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Matter of fact, I was just having a conversation with my 24-year-old son about that book. I believe he said he was rereading it. You know, it's been interesting to kind of watch. He's a kid that never liked reading. And now that school is out and he finished his master's degree, he's been out for like 2 weeks and he finds himself buying books, whether on Audible or buying physical books and reading them, because he got into this habit of reading during school and realizes how that makes him feel and what it's doing to fill his time rather than endlessly scrolling on Instagram or TikTok or Snapchat or whatever it is, you know, that he's spending that time doing. And so that's another thing I'll just mention real quick is the, you know, the smart devices and the social media and all those kinds of things can have such a detrimental effect on anybody's mental health. whether it's the comparison to other people or just the blue light and the endless time, you know, looking at that screen, all those times, all those things can be actually very, very detrimental to your mental health. So we're kind of running out of time here, Landon, but I just want to kind of hit a couple of real quick things. You mentioned Atomic Habits. I'll mention another book that anybody should read. It's called The Gap and the Gain. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it allows you to focus on the things that you've been able to accomplish. We spend all this time in our lives comparing ourselves to either the ideal business that we're trying to build or against somebody else's business that may be running more smoothly as far as you're concerned, or they grew faster or whatever. It allows you to live in that gain, right? Like, what did you accomplish and what should you be grateful for? And so those two concepts, right? Always measuring backwards and being grateful. Those two things can have extreme benefit to your mental health.
Yeah, I love that, man. I appreciate you mentioning that because that was not on my list, but I think as entrepreneurs, as you know, high achievers, as people that are, you know, have started and are operating, you know, successful small businesses. You know, like I think about our, you know, kind of our typical client, you know, that we serve. They run a business that does, you know, somewhere between generally, you know, $3 to $15-20 million a year in revenue. And we see this all the time, like in our practice. And when you think about this subset of business owners that have started and are running a business that does multi-millions of revenue, that alone puts them in the top, I think it's like 3%. Like, isn't it like only 10% of businesses ever get above $1 million a year in revenue, I believe. And then I'm not sure what the statistics are after that, but multi-million of revenue, you know, let's just say it's 5% of businesses, you know? And so, I mean, just that alone is pretty incredible to be in the very, very top quartile of businesses, but constantly our clients, and I find myself doing it too. You know, I'm not excluded from having those thoughts, certainly, but you're absolutely right, man. Honing in on the things that we have accomplished and celebrating those and getting into a good practice of being grateful for those things, that makes a huge, huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it. Well, any final thoughts, but I think, you know, we've talked about some important things. I mean, really it comes down to calendaring time for yourself, putting limits on the amount of time that you work, being grateful for what you have, and always looking back and recognizing what you've accomplished. I think if you get any message from today's episode, it's those things, right? Take time for yourself, don't work too much, and find ways to find joy in this life and gratitude.
Yeah, for sure. I'll close with this. Take stock of the things that you are doing in your life that does not bring in love and light. So drug use, you know, excessive alcohol consumption, pornography, you know, all those types of things. I think they, they affect men more than they do women, but they certainly affect both men and women. And take stock of those types of things and try to eliminate them, you know, try to create better habits that put you in a position to eliminate those things. And then lastly, I would say, you know, we didn't really, you know, talk about this in a lot of detail, but finding your tribe, you know, I recorded a video on that, I think last week. So whether it is a church group, it is a business owner peer group, it's a running group, it's a cycling group, it's a chess club, whatever it is, like find a group of people that are like-minded, that you really enjoy being around, that you respect and that you like, because when you find that group, you're going to naturally and organically share experiences, trials and tribulations, you know, achievements, all that good stuff. Like you're going to share that stuff. And that also makes a huge difference in impacting your mental health in a positive way. So I encourage everybody to, you know, find your tribe, find a group that you really like spending time with, and that will ultimately develop good relationships and allow you to share things with them that maybe you wouldn't share with others because you just don't feel close enough.
Yeah. Great way to close it out. So for those listening, we really enjoy putting this content out. If you enjoy it too, we hope you do. Please like, subscribe, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We're kind of everywhere. We're putting content out, and we really believe that the backbone of the American economy is the small business owner. You're taking the risk. You deserve to be compensated for it. And anybody that can help you to be better at being a business owner and drive our economy forward and help employ people, all of that kind of stuff, we want to be a part of that. So thanks for listening today.
Yeah. Well said. Thanks from Boise.
Listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying, and selling small businesses. This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance and or the podcast guest, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests have an obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.